Strider and the hobbits are pursued through the wilderness by the ringwraiths. The ringwraiths are an invention of Tolkien's that don't seem to come from any particular source. I guess they're ghosts in some way. But they're men who have taken rings from Sauron and been transformed into these wraith-like beings that don't have a real visible body and have to wear dark cloaks and ride on black horses to be seen. Frodo is stabbed by the Lord of the Ringwraiths, but, and this is somewhat of a plot hole, but the ringwraiths don't finish him off. And instead they leave him because they know that there's a splinter of the knife in his shoulder and it's working its way inward to its heart. Then Aragorn manages to lead the hobbits off into the wilderness where the ringwraiths can't find them, and they get very close to Rivendell, their ultimate goal. There's a chase at the very end where Frodo is almost caught but manages to get across the river, and then the ringwraiths are washed away in a flood sent by Elrond, and Frodo and his companions make it to Rivendell safely. That's the first big rest and the first pause. It's also the end of Book One within the Fellowship of the Ring. Each of the three volumes has two books in it. So Book One was up through Rivendell, and then Book Two begins in Rivendell and continues. We have a brief period where we get some examples of Tolkien's poetry, which he has as elvish poetry, and tells the story of Arendil, which is the backstory for Aragorn and Elrond and Arwen and so forth, that we don't really know it at the time. And then we move on to the Council of Elrond, the most notoriously difficult chapter in The Lord of the Rings. I've actually had people say, "You'll enjoy The Lord of the Rings if you just skip the Council of Elrond." I think those people are insane because you won't understand anything that's happening. But it is a 40 to 50 page meeting. Elrond has an agenda. What do we do with the ring? Frodo's here. Once they figure out what to do with the ring, which is destroy it, then they have to figure out how to do so. But here, Tolkien introduces his large themes of what we could call geopolitical significance, the wars of Middle-earth, the fact that even if Sauron doesn't get the ring, he's still going to be able to conquer the world with his physical armies. So even without the magic, he's going to conquer the world. What should we try to do about this? Here, Tolkien introduces his theme of fighting the long defeat. This is a continued struggle that the elves and the men and the good guys are fighting against evil. They seem to have a triumph, but then the evil comes back. And this is the pattern, again, that repeated pattern that Tolkien had already developed in his Silmarillion materials. The idea of fighting the long defeat is a modification of Tolkien's theme of northern courage. He developed northern courage, as he called it, from his analysis of the poem The Battle of Maldon, an Anglo-Saxon poem about the defeat of the English by the Vikings, and how it was noble and important to continue fighting even if your cause was doomed, because perhaps something would happen to make your cause not be doomed. And that's basically what the people at the Council of Elrond decide, that their cause is doomed, but yet they're going to fight anyway. Tolkien here starts to introduce another major theme in The Lord of the Rings, which is the theme of immortality. He does this through the elves, through Elrond and the other elves in Rivendell, and their sorrow. Elves are immortal. Turns out, though he doesn't say this in The Lord of the Rings, that they can be reincarnated if they're killed, but otherwise they don't die. But time passes for them at a different rate. Time seems for them both slow and fast, because mortal lives wink out quickly in an elvish lifespan, and slow because the world changes slowly as they watch it.